Blog Talk Radio.
Now special dedication to all dogs of dogs, dedicated to all top dogs, liberty crew. Man called Tony Kelly, the man called Robert, and while Apache riding through. Curfew! Sometimes I'm back, some of them are rally back. We a road boy, you tell me no take back, no chat. Sometimes I'm back, some of them are rally back. But we a road boy, you tell me no take back, no chat. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a jailhouse you come from, we sending you go back. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a big jail you come from, we sending you go back. Cause with them there when they get around hard. When we look in the food for the pot. Man of him 16 over him back. 45 and we have a ramp up. Man, I talk about we art. Judge, I know we have to run left this part. Dan Dayati, dog at the data. When we come down, fall off a block. Mr. Summer rally back, and some of them dance so back. We are road boy, you know, we not left a glock. And some are rally back, and some of them dance so back. When they kill in the place, and the place off a block. With them, they when Kingston run hard. When we look in the food for we pot. Kingston with them when my sub get shot. Kingston with them when copper get shot. When a bird get shot, man a Kingston with them when a cow get shot. Thunder can when him lick down flat. Natty Morgan lick down flat. Jungle man fangle a rima man did hot. And the uptown man them did hot. And the Riverton man them run hot. Firehouse man road did hot. And the Pinland man them hot. And back bush man them did hot. Warwicka Hill man them running hot. Nannyville man them did hot. Mr. Summer rally back a
Hey, we're back with you again, Talking Sports Plus. Before we move forward, we do not own the rights to that song, but we want to make sure everybody understands we like playing good music. Let's say hello to you. I am Dr. Larissa D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. Very excited to be here on Wonderful Wednesday. You know, we're going to come up with another name for it, but we love Wonderful Wednesday because we're going to have an awesome time tonight. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. If you want to go to the web link, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. All right, we're going to get started because you know I have to introduce my special people that was with me, and I thank them to be in the it's the greatest team that any person can ask for. So I want to make sure I give them the right introduction. And then we'll go into the other formalities when we go from that point on. But let me start off with the coach from the north. A young man with all the thought. He's famous for ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. It's Coach Tremaine Ellis.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight, ladies and gentlemen? Here to hit these hot topics. Ready to start. Ready, Dr. Smith.
All right, Coach. It's good to have you here tonight. All right, now let me take it a little bit to the south. I'm going from one extreme to another. From the north, as far as north, to the closest we can get south. And I got a very special gentleman down there that make things happen. All I got to call on, and we call him the truly. He's truly the coach of the airwaves. And my friend, my fraternity brother, Darrell E-Train Elliott.
So glad I could be with you guys tonight. I can't wait to hear what Tremaine has to say about all these things tonight. I'm sitting here reading all of this and going, Tremaine is about to have a field day.
Oh yeah, Trey gonna have an awesome field day. We're all gonna have a great time. We're gonna do our best to have a great time. Now we have two other co-hosts that's with us. However, I know because of the circumstances, they can't be here. But I always had to make sure I mention. And now Millennia, our two co-hosts. One of them is a Millennia, and she's a young lady. She's a lady of the airwaves. That's Coach Lauren D. Smith. And then my man. He ain't quite to the side, but he's the man that take care of everything. Whatever you look at it, whatever you need done, he's the man. And his name is Coach Tony Stallworth. So we're going to say, Coach Stallworth, we know you want to be here. You told me you're going to make a point to try to get here. He's out doing his duties, his job. So if you get a chance to break away, he's going to give us a call in. All right. Now, one of the things when we get started with the show tonight, we want to always try to make sure everybody understands why we take time to do Talking Sports Plus. One of the things is because all your normal pundits and talking heads focus on certain topics. We add that plus. That plus is go way beyond the boundaries. We look at historical black colleges, universities, high schools, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. And then every now and then we'll jump off that and go to where? The NBA, the NFL. So, you know, last week we talked a lot about the NFL, the draft and everything. This week we're going to talk about the NBA. And the top and the main topic we're going to talk about, we just gave a name to it called the NBA Jump Off. And everybody said, the NBA jump off. Yes, everything is beginning to get started. It's going to another level. So we want to talk about it tonight. So my co-host and I, we want to make sure we take some time. But we do want you to join in the conversation. And you can do that by calling 347-857-4192. All right, my co-host, let's get this thing started here tonight. Entitled NBA Jump Off. But we're going to first start off with the Raptors. We're going to talk a little bit about the Raptors, and I want our thoughts in concern the Raptors. You know, the Raptors was the team that won the Eastern Conference during the regular season, won 61-59 to 61 games, but they ran into a sweep, and they didn't have the brooms doing the sweeping. So let me get your thoughts about just seeing that series between Cleveland Cavaliers and the Toronto Raptors. We saw the broom pull out, and LeBron swept them out of there. Let me get your thoughts. Coach Edwards, give me your thoughts on that, Coach Edwards.
All right. Dr. Smith, coming into this game, you know, there was a lot of comparisons going on about it was about Oladipo and DeMar DeRozan. So the thoughts were that DeRozan was going to do more damage to the Cleveland defense than Oladipo. That went south quick. as we saw, DeRozan has a slow, meticulous game, almost like Paul Pierce, which was easy to check. Unlike Oladipo, which is wild and reckless and can get to the goal, dunk on you, and do what he want to do. That went south quick. The Raptors looked like they didn't have any pieces to even contend with anyone in the playoffs. Like I told people at the beginning of the playoffs, it was set up for – the East is set up for deception anyway. I really didn't think it was any dominant team in the East. The West, we pretty much know who the top teams are. It's going to be Houston and Golden State at the end, regardless. I don't care what nobody, where it is. That's what we got. So the East, I knew it was going to be deceptive. Cleveland's best chance to lose was going to be their first round. Now, Boston, I'm going to go with Boston, even though they're playing tonight. I'm going to go with them beating Philadelphia tonight. And they will be a challenge for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but it's going to be close. I'll say that. It's going to be close. But the Raptors, they don't have enough pieces, man. It was a matchup problem. I'm not going to say that they just were awful and they need disband a team and they need a new coach. It's matchups. They didn't have a good matchup with Cleveland. Cleveland overmatched them, and they won that game. Those are my thoughts.
Hey, Coach.
All right. Yes.
It was the difference between having – a 454 Chevrolet engine versus a 350 Chevrolet engine.
There you go.
And that was your sweep there. That was no way for them to pull that out. And to all you Cavalier haters out there, how you like me now, Gold Chief, when I smile? Try to take me out the ghetto, but I'm still buck wild.
Woo! Go ahead, Oscar. That's all right now. That's all right. You know, you're buck wild. And you know what? Just kind of let me add my thoughts on that. Then we'll look at a little bit of what Coach Edwards shared about being revamping of Toronto. But let me look at what happened in the series. We actually had all that talk from the pundits and talking heads. No, they may be experts in their own mind. And they were simply talking about, well, Cleveland don't have nobody help LeBron. LeBron can't keep going like this. You know, I tell them right there, like, you know, I think truly, Toronto decided to do 1, 2, 3 Cancun. They decided to go get ready to go to the beach after that first game. When they lost that first game, they started planning whether they were going to Disney World or whether they were going to the beach. What y'all think about that? One or other, they was going somewhere, but they was not planning on going no further than that series right there. And then LeBron James went to work all kind of ways, and he started involving everybody else. And that was what everybody was afraid of. The talk was, can he involve the other individuals? And he involved them. Kevin Love scored 31 points in a game. JR was on task. And then you had the other individuals adding some to it, Hood and all of them adding some. So they pull out the broom. They swept them. They swept them out of here. So, but my question that's coming up next, what do y'all think about, and Coach Trey just shared some information about it, possibly revamping to Toronto, because they can't stay like they are and be successful with what's happening in the East. Because you're looking at Philadelphia, you're looking at on the rise, you're looking at the Celtics, the youngest team in the playoffs, on the rise. And then, you know, wherever LeBron go, he always has a question. But right now, they the best third team in the conference with who they have. What are y'all thinking about possibly either revamping them, letting one of them, one of those so-called stars go out of that group, out of Lowry or either DeRozan, or either, you know, bring someone in there. And I want your thoughts on that, co-host. I want y'all to kind of share some thoughts on it. Should it be a possible revamp of this roster? He would change the head coach because he's been through this process. He's been in through three series, and he's been eliminated. And let's get our thoughts on that.
I'm going to say this, Dr. Smith. This Tremaine.
As a member of Link Creek Rewards.
Okay.
I really don't think they need to be revamped because they had a, you know, record-breaking season this year. They just were, you know, despised in the playoffs to lose. I mean, you got to look regular season. This team competed and beat the best teams in the West consecutively. I think they have winning records. They're 2-1 against both the Rockets and the Warriors. And they beat healthy Warriors. They didn't beat the Warriors without Stephen Curry. So it's not a factor of that, man. I just think it was a matchup problem with Cleveland. The only team that they couldn't beat, they beat one time, was Cleveland. And as you saw, out of 3 years, I think it was 3 years, they have never won in Cleveland. They have never won in Cleveland. Since LeBron James came back, they have never won. So it was a matchup problem for that team. So if they had to play any other team, I think they would have ran away with it. Like I told a lot of people, Cleveland played possum. So a lot of people, I think it was a good thought to get them, you know, let's lower our expectations for this playoff. You know, people think we're going to lose the first round. You know, we get in the second round, we sweep these jokers. We sweep the number one seed. I've never seen that now. I've never seen the number one seed get swept. But like I said, that number one seed beat the two West teams, the two teams on top of the West that's in the Western Conference Finals. They beat them guys. So I'm not going to say they need to break up the team, but they might need to add a few more pieces. And if that takes, you know, getting rid of a few jokers, you know, a Serge Ibaka that's not helping you. He's not the Serge Ibaka from Oklahoma City. So you might need to get rid of him and get you a, you know, a premier young big man. But I don't see what else they can do. Breaking them up with just you're starting over. So I'm the number one team right now. I'm going to stay there. I have to take 2 years of just getting beat for that number one spot.
In the words of a championship coach, some adjustments have to be made. So some adjustments have to be made. What adjustments? Well, that remains to be seen. But everybody wants that championship crown. And in order to achieve that, one must strategize. In the case of what Trey just said, perhaps they wait on it. Perhaps they build on it. Perhaps they add on it. But to bust it down is, like Trey said, to start over. But there are going to be some adjustments, as every team does. Either you take what you have and retool it, or you add to it or take away from it. And that's my take on that.
And also to kind of add to it, you know, I'm looking at the 130-some million Lowry getting, 100-some million that Lowry getting, and 130-some million that DeRozan did. They don't have no money to pay nobody. The only way they're going to pay somebody that is going to come in and help them is one of them got to go. So the bottom line, they can't add any free agent. And first of all, free agent ain't going under with no cold weather at. It's too cold up in Toronto, so that's one of the reasons why they can't really get no top free agents to head that way. Not just as I listen to various people talk, that it is cold up in Toronto. So the point is, a lot of folks just don't want to go that way, and what free agent you think you can get to add to them that's going to take that minimum amount of money? That's going to be the impact free agent. So it has to be a decision made. I don't think Dwayne Casey should be it, but I do think that the decision that you can't keep both of them and expect to catch up with Boston and Philadelphia. Now, we can say they played and beat everybody, but these young teams, without Kyle Irving, without the injured players that they have, is better than they are, and truly got a growing team where they don't have anybody to help. And you got to have some money, and they don't have the money because you're giving the money to two players that who really are not five-stars. I mean, they're four-star, or maybe three-star. You know, DeRozan on the way to being a five-star, but he's four-star now. So that's the kind of decision that has to be made. And revamping, making some changes. If you can't give away, trade a player Walkers or whoever it is, and the rest of them on that team, when they ain't worth quality, nobody will get no money to them. They ain't worth the money they give up. So that's just something we wanted to talk with and make sure we share a thought. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. If you want to email at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. And several people like doing it. They like to email me and share their thoughts. They don't want to come on the radio. But if you decide to call in, we ask you to press 1, and if you want to share your thoughts, press 1, and then I identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to come identify yourself and your location, then we want you to jump into the conversation. All right, let's take another step. We're going to look at the team that Toronto played, and let's look at LeBron. I just want to, what do each of you think of LeBron heroics in the first 2 rounds? What's your thoughts on LeBron, you know, scoring over 34 points in the first 2 rounds, 7 games and then 4 games, 11 games? His average was, not scoring, but his average. What do you think about his role? His last second shot, he's the only NBA player who had hit more than 1 or 2 last heroic shots, a last second shot. Jordan only done it once or twice. He has done it 5 times. What's your thoughts on that, on LeBron's heroics in the first 2 rounds of the playoffs?
Well, Tremaine, that was speaking. Well, being a Kobe fan, you know, I have to give him the kudos for the way he's been playing. He's doing what he needs to do. The only problem I have with LeBron is him just holding that ball, then shooting the ball within the last seconds of the shot clock. So I don't like when he does that, because it's showing me that they're not even running the offense. But as far as his heroic, he's playing. He's looking like one of the best to ever touch the basketball. How far will he go? Only time will tell. I don't think they have enough to get through the West in 7 games. And like I said, this Eastern Conference Finals will go at least six or seven games. Do I think he's going to win? Yes, but I think it's going to be tough. I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics do pull it out. They do have enough to pull it out.
Well, let me say this. LeBron James isn't merely living up to his kingly standard right now. Man, the dude is acting out of script. I like Marvel Cinematic Universe. Think about it. In 11 post games so far, we've seen him bloodied, exhausted, and nearly eliminated. And then we've seen him reattach his cape like Superman, make two game-winning shots, inspire spook teammates, and just turn it around. So LeBron James is still the king. And even though I know you're a LeBron fan, he's still the king.
Yes, he is. He is the king. At this point, he's the king out on that floor. He in his playoffs. He may not have the team that Golden State has. He may not have the team Houston has. He may not even have the team that Boston has. But I would go to war with LeBron any day of the week, any month of the year, because I know what he's going to bring. He's going to bring his heart, and he's going to go after it. He make you play out of character. Take the rules. He played out of character. Even that first game, it was a little bit more physical play going on in that first game than they allowed in the second game. Now, he was bloody because he got you know, everybody get hit here and there in basketball. He ended up with blood. But my point was, he was a lot physical in that first series, not the first game, the first series with Indiana. Then he was a little bit with Toronto. It's like he stole it hard and they just quit playing after that first game. So his heroics was there. After 11 games, he's playing at a high level, and he's been in the league 15 years, and it's amazing. Now, whatever health plan he has, what kind of training plan he has, I think every athlete ought to want to find out what that is that got him at that high level at that age, I mean, after 35 years old. 15 years, however his verse, he's 33 or 35, whatever, and 15 years. All right, let's move to the 76ers, and you may be watching the game as we talk about these very topics, but truly, in the first three games, the question is what happened to the 76ers in regards to Boston in this part of the playoff. What's your thoughts on what's happening to the 76ers?
This Tremaine that was speaking. I think they're buckling down and doing a one-on-one type offense. It's a whole lot of ISOs. I'm noticing Ben Simmons, when he has a little defensive pressure on him, he's giving the ball up. When he's dribbling the ball up the floor, he's giving it up. Embiid back, it changes the offense, some for the good, some for the bad. I think Embiid will be one of the top beat men in the league for over the next 10 years. But other than that, they okay. They'll get together. I think that series, it probably – I wouldn't be surprised if it goes 7. It look ugly now, but I think it will go 7.
Well, Darryl, I heard you cut it. It was coming in, Darryl.
Well, in my mind, Coach, the 76ers, you know, how do you say this without being insulting? They need some Wheaties, and they need to. Yeah, they need some Wheaties, and really and truthfully, can I just be honest with Radio World? They need Coach Tremaine up there to help them out.
All right.
I'm seeing rookie things happen, Coach, and I'm going, what's going on with the 76ers? They're almost trying to implode themselves. That's where I see it.
And experience is important. Everybody got to remember this. I think a lot of us get away thinking just because you come in and you got two of the top first round draft choices of last year, and they won about 15 or 16 games, which probably some of the worst team in the league. But the point is, when you get in the playoffs, you need to pull your jockey strap tight, if I can say. And you got to get ready to play I don't see that, those two young men. They try their best, but they got to get some more years of experience to play at the level that we expect them to play, even Boston. Boston without Kyrie Irving and the other young, Muhammad or somebody, the other young man, they act without them, and this team is still, Rozier taking them to the cleaners, taking them to work. Simmons' biggest problem is the same problem he had when he was in college. He can't shoot a jump shot. And when you can't shoot no jump shot in the NBA, and the guy's just as big as you, you can't drive to the basket like you did against those guys at when you was at LSU. You don't drive to the basket, the guy might be 6'4". These guys, 7 foot, 6'8", 6'9". LeBron is a big man, 6'8", 260. So it makes a difference. Experience matters. But we have to keep that in mind. The lack of experience of not being and playing in these kind of situations takes time. Don't happen overnight. So the point is, what's happened to them, that they don't have that experience to play at this level they need to play. Yeah, it would be amazing they get it to 7 games. And then I'll lay that to Boston, because ain't no way in the world I'm going to let you out of the hook when I got you, and I can squeeze you down. So the point is, last Trey said, it looks kind of sloppy for him right now. I think it will get even worse. But the point is, this series is going to have to go in very soon, like tonight, I feel. That's my opinion. And then we'll move and see what the inexperience of Boston will be against Cleveland. Because some inexperience is going to show up, because they are young, and they're the youngest team. So that's pretty much, and co-host, both of y'all are sharing some thoughts. And like I said, it's 1-2-3 to Cancun. Maybe they think about Cancun now after the 3-0 and the final 1-1-3-1. Maybe they still think about going to the beach right now. All right, let's look at the Celtics. And this is something I just want to throw out. I want y'all to talk about it. Think about it, then talk about it. And I want y'all to call in, call us. That's 347-857-4192. Should the Celtics consider trading Kyrie Irving for Kawhi Leonard? Give your thought. I need your thoughts on that. I need your expertise on that.
Well,
go ahead, Darryl.
Well, I'm going to say this. Obviously, this is something that's, from my opinion, it's far from a possibility, but it definitely could be an option, as Boston has, of course, rumored as one of the potential landing spots for Leonard if San Antonio decides to part ways with him. From the Celtics standpoint, Terry Rozier has been absolutely sensational through the postseason, because he's averaging like 18.3 points per contest and leading the Celtics with 6-1 assist, and gone above and beyond what the organization expected when Irving went down. So, on the other hand, inserting a player of Leonard's caliber into the Celtics lineup could be an absolute nightmare for the rest of the Eastern Conference. So, I don't know. It could be, and it may not be. I don't know how to call it.
All right.
Tremaine that was speaking. I think the Celtics need to settle in with Kyrie. I wouldn't trade them. Both of the guys you trade them for have been hurt most of this season. Kawhi Leonard had a significant, I think it was a back, was it back, Dr. Smith? Back injury?
Kawhi. It is quads.
Okay.
Has a question about quads, tennis quad. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Both have major leg injuries. I would just sit tight with Kyrie. Special player, but injury prone. I don't think it would matter if he's there. But right now, like you're talking about Terry Rozier, I think Kyrie would be good for him. He would be good as far as a mentorship role. So I wouldn't get rid of Kyrie instead, and he still has a little juice in his tank, man. So Kyrie probably got at least 5 more years in him. And I don't understand how he moves like he does and can't play no defense. That makes no sense to me right there. I'm going to say that with a surprise face. Like, you go where you want to go on the floor, but you can't play in the defense. But as far as that trade, I'm going to hold tight. If I'm Boston, I'm going to hold tight with Kyrie, and I'm at least let him get a season with the guy that broke his ankle at the beginning, Gordon Hayward. Is that his name?
Hayward.
That's Gordon Hayward, yes. Yeah, I'm going to see what him and Gordon Hayward do with each other. Because I think Boston will be a top team with those two guys here. Those are two superstars in the league.
And it's true. That's some decision. I think Danny Ainge have done a great job of manipulating this and getting the right people in there. So, but it can't happen where a Leonard. I think it was a good even trade because you got two players that is hurt that could have been significant for that team, but one team without that player couldn't do hardly anything, which is San Antonio. And one team without him is doing good things without him. So I would just try to put a little twist on that. Kyrie with Rozier and Brown and Jason Tatum. Kawhi with them. Because that's what they're missing. They're missing a fall. They're missing a Leonard. They are missing that. They got playing both positions. Your boy the Al Horford. He's playing – inside, outside, but with a Leonard, because you know, like I said, Crowley he can score, but Rozier can score. He's quick. Both of them, you know, one of them 3 years younger than the other one. So, what I would rather consider having a power forward that can score and go along with Tatum and Brown and Gordon Hayward. You see what I'm saying? And move Kyrie on out of there. So that's something Boston gonna have to consider is this possibility, how much better you will be because Kyrie and Rozier is closer relating. On Kyrie come back, Rozier got to sit on the bench. Do he really need
right.
to be on the bench?
Now, Dr. Smith. Now you know, Jaylen Brown and Tatum are 6'8", 6'9", three guards, right?
But they not forward.
Right. So, and you know, Gordon Hayward is another 6'8", 6'9", coming from injury. So, as far as that four position, they were looking for a team that plays small ball. I don't think they're trying to set up for they're setting up for Cleveland. Now, Cleveland were reluctant to go back to big man ball this last series and beat these guys up by playing Tristan Thompson. But, you know, against Indiana, Cleveland couldn't play B. They had to play small. So I think the game is evolving so much behind that you're good with 6'8", 6'9" guards. Ask Golden State.
Yeah. Golden State is holding another hammer to shoot that ball. I don't think these guys are quite there. But I just put the picture out there, if it's possible, because you got a bunch of guards. Yeah, they're 6'8", but you need a big man in there that can shoot and play and put on like Leonard. Ain't nothing comparison to him. He's just a whole different animal right there. So I see Kyrie is pretty much like what they already have. So that's my point about that. Do you want to keep with all what you have? And, yeah, you're talking about small man ball, but the point is you got to have a forward in there that can be able to do all the things the small man. And other guys, they combo guard, you know, combo people. That's just something I want to throw out there. But the call-in number is 347-857-4192. So we'll kind of see what's going to happen in the future because I think Danny Ainge will be making some things happen in regard. It may not be. Some people, you know, say it will be somebody else, but it's going to be something. Yeah, they got Kyrie. He got there. But with the way this playoff went, I think they got a better picture of exactly what exactly going on here and how they can play. So we look forward to seeing how the future is going to be for all of these teams that are young and energetic in the NBA. All right, let's look at another topic. We still talk about the NBA tonight. This is a jump off. We talk about everything that's going on with the NBA. Should Carmelo Anthony give up, which he stands to make this upcoming year, $28 million to try and get a championship ring? One note to that, It ain't all about the money when Kamala Anthony has made $287 million just playing basketball and made almost $170 million off endorsement. Is the 28 more important than a championship ring? Should he be trying to look at a team to get on so he can have a championship ring? Let's talk about that. Give up 28 and maybe take $14
million. Darrell Lee.
Co-host. Yeah, Darrell.
All right, this is going to be real short. Kamala is standing to make $27.9 million. He's 34 years old. Ain't nobody going to give him $28 million. Nobody is going to give it to him. Now it's $287 million enough money for a man to say, you know what, I'd have made enough. Let me take this cut and go get this championship ring because I got it for that. Or maybe it's just the fact that he liked the fact of stacking more than $287 million every year. I mean, and adding to that on a higher note rather than taking 14. So I think at his age that he is not going to move. He's going to stay getting that money. Now, I could be wrong. I want to hear from the King. Trey, what you think, Trey?
Trey, the King. Come on, King.
Trey, that was speaking. I wouldn't give Carmelo nowhere near $28 million. He wants $28 million for 1 year?
That's what he's going to make next year. He stayed with OKC regardless. He's sitting on a bench or whatever because they're going to pay him $28 million.
Dr. Smith,
if
OKC wants to be in contention of playing anything, I would get Carmelo off my team or whatever I can do for that $28 million because I can get two guys that can help me out because Carmelo is not that guy anymore. He'll be good on a Cleveland or a Golden State, you know, being late in his career. But he just is not that guy, not the $28 million guy. He's probably a $9 or $10 million guy a year. He'll give you a good 15 points on time to time. But as far as $28 million, he's nowhere near that. And as far as him taking a back seat, I think if he's asked, I would go. I don't understand it. Now, being Carmelo, you know he's an egotistic guy. So he will want to play, but like this year he couldn't help them, man. He in this playoff he looked off out there, and he's shooting all your balls. I'm gonna say that that's an old school way to say it for ball hogging. He shoot all your balls, and he's not hitting any shots. So as far as $28 million, that's out of question. If I'm the owner of an organization, NBA organization, I'm doing away with Carmelo. Or I'm cutting his pay down. One or two things.
Okay. But you can't because his contract already signed. When he signed, he going to get $28 million whether he's sitting on the bench or not. Now, the question is, if he wants to leave there, you as the owner are saying that, yeah, go ahead. He's not going to stand to make $28 million. He's going to make $14 million. If anywhere he goes, they're going to have to pay him $14 million. So the point is, his thing is, I want a championship. So the question is whether you, Carmelo Anthony, are you going to keep him or should he stay there? It's really Carmelo Anthony. I want to put it. It's not nothing to do with it. Okay, see, he's going to be there if he sit on the bench. Should he leave to go to a team like Houston, I'm just using for a team, to have a chance to win a championship? Win a ring and take a pay cut. Because he's going to get $28 million. That's out. They can't do nothing about that because that's the contract. So that's what the question is all about. Should he leave? Should he get should a championship be more important than $28 million or half of $28 million? Because he'll get $14 million wherever he goes.
I agree with you, Dr. Smith. I would go, if I'm Carmelo Anthony, I'm going to take my $14 million and go to Houston, like you said, Houston Rockets. I feel like he can contribute for their team off the bench. Another top-seeded team, He could go to the, like I said, Cleveland Cavaliers. He could go to Boston and come off the bench. He could go to Golden State, come off the bench. But he's a come off the bench guy now. I think the game is past him. And if I'm him and I want a ring, I would take that $14 million. If I'm being greedy, I take the 28 and retire immediately after this season.
Well, that's
but
what it's all.
But Trey, are you calling him now a six man?
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony can't help anybody on the court. We've seen it over the number of years. As far as him this year, was his resume builder right there for being traded? And I can't see him helping anybody. I see him coming out Dwayne Wade type role. I give him that. He may start some games, but he would have to come on my bench.
Wow. Thank you, Trey.
and the thing about it, we got to understand, some people age in the game. They get better at the game, and some people don't. I think, Carmelo, the game has passed them by. For some teams that could use a player like him that can still shoot the ball, that, to me, a Houston, somewhere, because he don't go nowhere unless he's going to championship now. Why leave? You get 28 minutes, you can sit on there, you ain't winning that at OKC. So I'm just saying, selecting the team will have to be the right team that they option out on, that he option out to go for. He's going to play wherever he goes, but he may not play as much as that he wants to. But I don't think he'll be the point where he can't give you 15, 20 points a game every night. But he can still shoot the ball. That's a good thing. He's big and he's that. But the bottom line is I think he will make that option if the right team he can get on just to get up a championship ring. And the thing all about, will you give up the $28 million or have a $28 million just to be on championship team, to get a ring. You know, and let me jump off that right quick, and I want y'all's thoughts. I don't know whether y'all watched the NBA show last night when Shaq and Barkley got into it last night. Did either one of y'all see that last night?
Nah, it's plain. I'm ready to hear
it.
You saw it there. You didn't see it there?
No, I didn't see it either, man.
Okay, all right. They were sitting there talking about one of the players. I can't remember who they were talking about. And said, Barker said the NBA, the players are being baited. It was something about NBA players being baited. They treat them like babies and everything. And then, it had to do with DeRozan. I'm sorry, DeRozan. Remember DeRozan was benched late in the game and when he should have been in the game, and Barkley was saying that the relationship was going to be ruined. Now, got to have a good relationship between the star player and the head coach. So Shaq said, you know, we can't baby these players. If he ain't performing, then we got to get him off the floor and don't be scared because he's supposed to be the star player. I don't care what he did all year. In that game, they took his heart. So the coach made the decision. But Barker was trying to say, well, every player must have a good relationship with their coach, the star player, and they probably shouldn't put him on the bench and everything. But Shaq said, you know, you have to make the decision. You ain't always got to have a good relationship and with their coach to be successful. And he used Pat Riley. And if everybody remember Pat Riley in Miami, you know, he wasn't a star player no way. You know, Dwayne Wade was. But, and morning was coming in there. So Barkley said, well, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, Shaq. And Shaq said, you trying to tell me I won three championships? So Shaq showed his ring. So they got into a real argument last night. So it may not be good. You have to see it to kind of see it, but see what's going on. The question was Barkley right or Shaq right? Because Shaq threw, you ain't never won no championship. That was Shaq's biggest argument. You can't tell nobody what they can do or how successful they can be, because she never won no championship. She's now won three. So you don't know whether a star, or what a star player is or not. So it was just that discussion, and I just wanted to share it because it was really a discussion this morning. But the call in number 347-857-4192. And then I just wanted to share with the co-host as well as the listeners what went on. A lot of people saw it last night, and it was a heated argument between Shaq and Barkley. He just told me he never won no championship, so you can't tell nobody nothing. That's what his Shaq said his final thoughts were. You ain't never won no championship. How can you tell how to win? So it was into that discussion right there. All right, we'll kind of move to our next topic, which is what are your thoughts in regards to teams having an alpha dog? And let me kind of, and everybody that knows sports about alpha dog, somebody who can stand up and one that's going to lead the team, going to get it up in their face and everything. Do every team need an alpha dog? Winning or losing team, do they need an alpha dog? And if it's the winning team, why is it so important to have an alpha dog? And not calling the person a dog, but it's just what they call them, alpha dog. Go ahead on, Trey.
Tremaine, that was speaking. Alpha dog is not needed on every team, but like you said, Golden State, for example, you have a bunch of superstars put together. Even though we might think they are the alpha dog, because the guy I think that makes their team run is Draymond Green. So I don't know I don't know whether we want to call him the alpha dog because of his, you know, demeanor, or do we want to call a guy that has the most athletic ability on your team the alpha dog? Now, as far as a team leader, I agree every team must have a team leader, even though they may be young or whatnot. Other than that, you need a lot of pieces around the guy. The Philadelphia 76ers are a prime example of a team that doesn't have an alpha dog. Now, I think Embiid will be it because he's their voice. He's the voice of their team. That's what I think teams need, a voice, the person that's going to talk for the team. Every team does have that someone that will talk for the team, but not necessarily being an alpha dog. The Toronto Raptors, I don't think they have an alpha dog, and the alpha dog that they have can't produce athletically. Lowry is their voice. You hear DeRozan talking, but he's not talking like Lowry. Lowry gets on TV, he talks like he's the team leader. I mean, I know they might co-captain the team, but Lowry is the one I hear talk. Minnesota, young team, you don't know who that alpha dog is. Carl Anthony Towns is their talker. I mean, he's that guy. New Orleans Pelicans, Rondo is their alpha dog, and he's not the most athletic person. You know, he's the talker, though, but he's the voice of the team. So with that alpha dog saying, I would think that you wouldn't have to be as far as the most athletic person on the team, but you will have the most wisdom and the most knowledge on the team. You will be the voice of the team.
Well, you know, that they're boasting, Daryl E. Tucker, they're boasting 8 new, quote-unquote, alpha dogs for the league this year. For example, Atlanta Hawks, you know, Paul Millsap was the Atlanta Hawks' most important player before Al Horford and Jeff Teague left. And that hasn't changed. At 32, with free agency on the horizon, he'll have to pass the torch, but not soon, at least not now. Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks, of course, they're in a weird spot. You got Dirk out there. The man is the alpha in spirit, but not always practiced. You got Harrison Barnes, which has the highest rate, the usage rate of everyday players, but he's not peddled as the face of the future. Seth Curry, Yogi Ferrell, Nerlens Noel are all possibilities in training, but it doesn't do anything for the Mavericks now basically long live Dirk. So you have these teams with these out front players, as you say, Coach. But the reality is I agree with you. Not every team needs one.
And it can go both ways. But, you know, I found out, you know, all my years of coaching, you know, everybody's telling you what a team that is very successful, he got one or two thugs on that team. Now, I'm just saying what people say. That player going to say anything, and whatever he do, everybody going to follow. Everybody going to, and that's what we say, alpha dog. He's going to take the bull by the horn. And he don't care what it is, a fight. I'm just using. If it's confrontation, he's going to be the man. You can count on him. If someone has to, and it don't have to be the star player. I don't, as you gave Golden State, no. Nobody the alpha dog on there is Draymond Green can get on the phone and call Kevin Durant 4 o'clock in the morning and say, man, we got to do better. And what Kevin said, I got to do it. He's the leader. He's always the one pushing it, making the team go to that level. Steph is too quiet. Thompson ain't going to say nothing. You know, so that kind of player right there. Teams like Philadelphia don't have an alpha dog, somebody who can step up because they're so young. They're afraid to step on each other's toes. They don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. They ain't ready yet, but in a couple years, they might be. You know what I'm saying? DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry speaks for the team, but he can't push nobody on that team. It got to be somebody that step up and get up in their face at practice. Man, you're going to do this. We're going to have a good practice day. You got to have an alpha dog if you want to be at the top of this game. I just believe that most teams have one, and he ain't always the best athlete. He's the one that you know can make players do stuff that normally you can't make them do as a coach. So, in essence, you see Draymond is a good example of that alpha dog. Then a lot of teams have him, but you don't know him. But somebody that can make that player up, can have that connection with all the players. And I think he could probably do the same thing with Steph. Call Steph and tell Steph that. Because in their eyes, he's the toughest one on the team. He's that alpha dog. He's that THUG, they call. And you got to have one or two on your team every night. And Rondo is another one. Rondo is pretty much that way. Rondo really push and make guys do stuff around there. Anything about it, they're just so young, they have to have somebody to guide them and keep them. But you don't have too many young guys trying to do that to each other because they have to have one older that's tough and go through the wars with you. I just think that's one thing important. But that's what we're talking about. Call the number 347-857-4192. Make sure you call in, share your thoughts, and we're going to kind of move our agenda so we can get in a couple other things. Discuss whether or not the NFL should allow each team to decide their own national anthem policy. Just have some thought on that.
I'm totally confused about that. The national anthem policy. I guess those that want to kneel, those that don't want to kneel, the world has gone to hell in a handbasket. All right. So the standard is you salute the flag and you do the national anthem. You put your hand over your heart and you sing the national anthem. That's the standard. So if you don't believe in that, should you be able to refrain from that? Sure. But to say, okay, all right, what if somebody want to stand on their head? What if somebody want to lay down on their back? What if somebody want to, do cartwheels doing it? I mean, when does it stop? When does it stop? So you don't agree with American policies. You don't agree to all the things that happen in America. Well, it did just start. All these things that these people are going through did just start. And I don't think you rebelling against the national anthem is going to make a change anyway. It did for Kaepernick. But look at what it has done to his career. The power is so much bigger than this. You can make any stance you want to out here, but until you unify, if every black player, if every white player, if every player and everybody in a powerful organization like the NFL made a stand toward what Kaepernick was saying about the injustice of people of color and police brutality, then this conversation would be going in a whole different direction. But unity, unifying, is the way to that unifying is the way to fix what Kaepernick has done. This question right here only opens up even more controversy. If every national team had their own way of doing things, it'd just be, well, that's the way they do it. That's just the way they do it. And in 6 months from now, it'll be just the way they do it. And that's that.
Okay. All right.
Tremaine, that was speaking. I agree totally with Daryl E. right there. I feel like the league needed to make a decision and roll with it. Just make a decision. Let's go.
And to add that, Trey, you know, they really, you know, have a policy in place already. And I think it came into play because some teams said their players were going to stay inside the locker room when it was going. They was going to agree to it. So the question was, should it be everybody making their own decision? The decision already made. And regardless of what has happened last year, the decision is all the teams, you're employed by those employers. You go out, you all are going to be out there. No, they're not going to make you stand because I went to an activity this weekend at one of the major universities. And two things they asked, gentlemen, do the national anthem, take your hats off, please stand. It was your choice to stand. They ain't making you stand. They ain't making, but when you become somebody else's employer, I guess it's a whole different attitude that you can make a decision because you are the owners, because the owners are the ones in the NFL team. But I don't think it's a need because it's not a protest against the NFL. And that's what everybody got to understand. We spent too much time talking about this against the NFL, whether they got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. You put it up. Kaepernick and the other young man made a decision. They talking about collusion. If you're on a job and you decide to do opposite for what those people feel like you're doing, and then they fire you, you're fired, and they don't hire you, that's their choice. You know, it's business, too. So my point is that NFL probably don't need to make a policy which they already have. And they don't have to enforce it. If the players don't want to stay, they were doing the same thing before. When they did it before, this came up, folks were standing. Some of them were still sitting down. Some of them were standing up. Some had their head over their heart. Some were saluting, you know. So you had so much. I'm talking NFL players. So we're spending a whole lot of time in the NFL wasting time to say, well, let each team make their decision that everybody come out the locker room, or everybody stay in the locker room. Nah. Let's. If you got a policy, follow your policy. So we don't want to try to dictate because we can't do that. We just taking our thoughts, stating our expertise in regards to it. All right, let's move to the last thing in regards to spring. This is spring. If anything you want to share, callers, you can call in about your historical black college and university, your high school or middle school sports or activity that's going on. This is an opportunity. And if my co-host allowed me to start off, I want to recognize and give the right of a proper heroics and hurrah to Alabama State University track team. That girls' track team has won the SWAT outdoors again. That's like 7 or 8 of them, or 9. If it ain't in a row, it's probably 9 out of 10 years. The boys finished second this year. And then also you had the, if I'm not mistaken, the baseball team. They won the SWAT championship this year as well. So, you know, we want to applaud. And recently the women's golf team won it, and the boys finished, and the men finished second. So that's dealing with Alabama State University. Coach Trey, you got anything you want to share there in North Alabama?
Yes, sir. Lee Huntsville versus Madison County spring football game, Friday, 7 o'clock. Friday, 7 o'clock. Lee Huntsville versus Madison County spring football.
Okay.
Be there, be square, baby.
All right. That's all right. So those are some of the things that happened there. Some other things, like last week, we did want to mention it. but we didn't really get a chance. We had wanted to mention that in the MEAC, they had over 100 and some players recognized as honor students, athletes in the MEAC. They came up with that last week. That was official last week. So we want to applaud the MEAC for having those players as academic honors. So we'll applaud MEAC for having those number of players. It's probably the same in the SWAG, but some of it hadn't been finalized because graduation is this weekend for most of the schools. There's some of them was last weekend. All right, last thing, we're going to wrap it up. Yes.
I just wanted to say to you, you know, when you talked about the Bama State University and the track team, it would have been great. You know, I always believe that in the advertising world, when you do something great, that you toot your own horn. As you look on TV, you see TV stations running what they call promos about, you know, they were there. When tragedy struck, they were there. And they toot their own horn. I wish that Bama State University would spend money on these athletes when they have such an awesome win, that they advertise the fact that, you know, they have done so in a way for the mass to know it. That increases your roster. That increases your attendance to the school. And it toots your own horn. And I just wish that HBCUs had the funding to do that. That's all I wanted to add.
That's awesome. It would be good because tooting your own horn is important. Like I say, since I hit track coaches on Facebook, I was able to get that. Then they post ASU Athletics on the, on Facebook, so they have a Facebook page. So we applaud them and all the other historical black colleges and universities. There's graduation going on. There's outstanding things going on. High school, as Coach Everett stated about Lee, high school is going to be playing Madison. Is at Madison Academy on Friday night when they jamboree. So that's awesome. All right, the last topic we want to jump on is the quote made by Wendell Carter. Let me make sure I get Wendell Carter Jr. mother about the NCAA system resembles slavery and the prison system. That was her statement. And let me paint the picture. She made the statement as she went before that basketball commission that they had put together dealing with the FBI to change basketball FBI investigation. And the charges they brought against some coaches, they are meeting to come up with ways to help improve NCAA basketball. And that was her statement. She went to testify before that group and share her thoughts. So I want to know what's our thoughts. Take a few minutes, and we'll get ready to close the show out. The NCAA system, this is her quote. She said the NCAA system resembles slavery and the prison system. What is your thoughts on that?
Tremaine that was speaking here, her thoughts can be matched with any kind of prison and slavery stats. The only one that makes money in the NCAA is the NCAA. When the kids are doing all the work and the coaches are doing all the work, NCAA makes billions and billions of dollars every year. With no kickback, I'm going to use that kickback term, like Southern right now, that no kickback term for the schools or to give back to the players. She also went on, or the article also stated facts about they're trying to get a two-year certificate plan for players that will be going on to the NBA or to the NFL. They're trying to educate the kids on jobs as far as, handling yourself, your money, and situations. So kids probably won't be going to school for subject matters as far as jobs as adults. They'll be going to school to get a certificate to educate them on life in the NFL, life in the NBA. Those are some things they talked about in the article, but I agree with her exactly about the system. The NCAA is set up like that. Only people making money are the corporate people at the top of it.
I would say this. The NCAA needs to move away from being a membership association with all of the inherent conflicts of interest and self-dealing that makes it hard for it to show the courage it needs to make the changes needed to reestablish public confidence in college sports. That's what the NCAA needs. There's no easy way to say it. This argument has been going on for so long that the kids need a stipend. And you need to pay these kids something. It's just like having a job for the duration of their college life in sports. They have to go out here to get this in order to get that. Some of them get scholarships. Some of them don't get big scholarships. But the reality is you need to pay them. A lot of them will never make the professional sports, and their bodies are banged up, and they got to walk around with this for the rest of their lives. But the reality is, I think the price is too big to their bodies to just get an education or to get some form of education. They need to be paid to do the wild thing. That's what I have to say.
And that's awesome. That's good thoughts about it. And I guess I would only say that I have no problem comparing, but I would not want to say slavery, because slavery was not a choice. Playing the NCAA is a choice. You got a choice to play in the NCAA. You don't have a slavery we didn't have. That's not a good example. And even prison systems, we got some false accusers. Some of them choose to take that route. But these young men choose to be in the NCAA, and they understand it when they sign the contract. So I just don't like the use of slavery as being the reason, the choice you want to compare it to. It may be some other way where you say a large business is not handing out the money to everybody. But slavery was not a choice for us as African-American people. So that's why it's a choice now. It's a choice to be in the NCAA. You don't have to sign no scholarship. You can go straight to the Europe and go. But once you do it, you go by the rules that are set there. And that's my only problem. But I don't want to use it for slavery. But it's easy for people to use slavery because it's something that they feel like would make everybody get everybody attention. I just don't agree with you comparing it to slavery.
Hey, coach.
Uh-huh.
Hey, coach, can I tell you something that we can argue about all night?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Slavery was a choice in this respect.
In this respect.
If you didn't want to be a slave, you could die. Those were your two choices.
Mm-hmm. Yep. If you didn't want a slave, you could run away to the north, huh? No, that's the only reason I don't compare it to that, because I know it was not. So the bottom line is that we had an awesome show tonight. We had an awesome show, and when I have this team here, I'm so proud to have the opportunity to sit here and dialect and dialogue with them, and share thoughts with them. They share their expertise. I'm so happy to have them working with us, and we want to close it out. Coach Edwards and Coach D, y'all want to close out how y'all want to close it out, and then we'll kind of get ready for our next week's show, and we'll have something juicy next week as well on Wonderful Wednesday. Let's close it out.
Well, I'll say this much.
Go ahead, there.
I'll say this much. Tremaine Edwards, Dr. Smith, you're a wonderful guy. I hate the millennium, and I hate Fireworth wasn't here tonight, but the reality is this. I learned from you guys, first of all, and you both know that, and I appreciate what you do. I want to thank the people that took the time to listen in, and I want to encourage you personally to always press one and have some dialogue with us. We know you're out there. We'd love for you to partake into the show. Thank you so much, everybody, for being part of the show. Look forward to seeing you next Wednesday.
Awesome.
This Tremaine that was coming in telling y'all good night tonight. I had a good week, good last week with me too. I was reluctant to pick my summer team for the 2018-2019 basketball season. It's looking good. It's looking brighter. It's a great day to be an Indian, baby. Great day to be an Indian. I'm coming back reloaded. Y'all have a good night, man. Glad to have y'all.
And that's our man. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And the rabbit got the gun right now. That's awesome, Trey. We appreciate you calling. And for each and every one of you all, I always want to try to join us on Monday night when we have a talk of real to you. Co-host is Lauren B. Smith, and my special guest expert is Dr. Olivia Elaine Smith. I'm sorry, Olivia E. Smith. She might not want me to call her that name, but she's an outstanding person, as well as my co-host is the owner, father, and daughter team that in talk Blog Talk Radio. So we look forward to joining us at 8 o'clock on Monday night, and our call-in number is the same. That's 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Now, you have an awesome night, and we look forward to talking with you next week on next Wednesday, because we come at you every Wednesday on our Monday night show. We come every other Monday, but dealing with our Talking Sports Plus, I thank the co-hosts, both of you, Coach Edwards, Coach Darrell E. I appreciate you taking time. Y'all are wonderful individuals, so we look forward to having you here next week. Call us, you know, like my good friend say, and co-host, Coach Tony Stallworth, take the day, don't let the day take you. And at this point, since we're at the nighttime hours, we're going to say, take the night and don't let the night take you. And we're going to end it up with a little bit of California love, and we're going to just say, we do not have the rights to this song, but we want to play it so you can hear it and understand. Have a awesome night, bro.
My love, never gonna let nothing come between us, my baby. The way I see it, girl, we can rule the world, we can have whatever we want. It's not like you're not worth it, more than deserve it. Girl, when it comes down to love, you're a game changer. Trying to take down everything I would meet. Well, when you came along, baby girl, you changed it all and stopped all my pain. I guess what I'm saying.